When his daughters inevitably broke the rules, Jim became so infuriated that he would explode. I give them so much, and all I want to do is enjoy my time with them. Why can't they just obey me without having to get upset like this? Jim would take it personally that his children broke the rules, and he would react by getting upset. Then, after his reactive explosion, he would feel tremendously guilty. In the end, he would allow this guilt to take him over, and he would back off any disciplinary action whatsoever. Of course, completing the cycle, his daughters would then respect his authority even less, and continue to disobey even the most lax of rules. In the end, the blurring of Jim's personal and business sides led to a disintegration of both, with very little fun and very little structure. The scream-free way. What scream-free parenting helps you do is keep these two sides of parenting separate, leading you to develop the balance within yourself and within each parent. This means you can operate, with or without your spouse, with all the seriousness you need to establish order without sacrificing the joyful times and feelings you really crave. Here's how it works. As you learn to calm yourself, it is far easier to operate out of your principles. And just as you teach your children, there is a solid principle about work and play. That's right, you cannot play outside until you take care of your chores. In order to enjoy the personal parenting times with freedom and love, you have to take care of the business side first. Taking care of the business side means asserting yourself as the authority in your family. You set the table, metaphorically, so everyone, including yourself, can enjoy the nice dinner. This means setting your children in their place. Just as you recognize that kids need their room, you also claim your own right to privacy. You make expectations and rules very clear, in a matter-of-fact way, without any hint of anger or anxiety. Because you're already working hard to give your kids their space, as we talked about in part 2, putting them in their place does not come across as an authoritarian power trip. You are a calm and connected authority, one who does not need compliance in order to feel like the leader, but one who does command respect. Some parents gravitate all too quickly toward the disciplinarian role, however, in an effort to control the uncontrollable. By exercising their power over those dependent on them, they can mask their own feelings of inadequacy and intimidation. This is not the scream-free way to provide structure. Setting the table means focusing first on yourself and your parts in any and every developing pattern. Think about that for a second. If a behavior is getting replayed over and over again, it becomes very easy to focus on the other person, the one whose behavior you want to change. But here's the trick. A pattern always involves more than one party. And if you're experiencing a pattern with your child, guess what? Somehow you're contributing to the ongoing behavior. What helps is focusing on your part of the pattern without blaming yourself or anyone else for the entire problem. It is a pattern, nothing more and nothing less. And all patterns can be changed. Just change one part of the pattern, yours, and the pattern necessarily has to change along with you. So again, it is profitable to focus on yourself. Jim, the divorced father of two I just mentioned, eventually learned to focus less on his kids' misbehavior and more on his own reluctance to set and maintain a clear structure. The more he began to set the structure, the less he found himself taking it personally when his kids chose to disobey. And the less he took it personally, in time, the more they respected him. A perfect example occurred when Jim saw that one daughter's bike was left out on the driveway. Again, he had purchased the bike for her so that on the weekends she stayed with him, she would have it available. And he was thus thrilled whenever she rode it because that meant she was enjoying herself even while staying at Dad's house. But then she left it out in the driveway instead of putting it up in the garage. And she was leaving first thing in the morning to go back to her mother's house. Jim was so tempted to feel hurt and/or explode. After he purchased the bike, he and his daughter had gone over the rules in a very harmonious way. She agreed to put the bike away every time in an, I'm so excited to have the bike, I'll agree to anything, sort of way. But she seemed to leave it out every time, and Jim was left either to scream until he got results or bring it in himself. But not anymore. After confronting his own fears of fully realizing his authority to set structure, Jim decided to stop his part of this pattern. He said, Honey, it's obvious that you love your bike, and that's great, but you have left it out in the driveway. So I want you to know that whenever you do that, you have a choice. You can choose to bring it into the garage where it belongs and thus keep it to ride the next time you come. You can also choose to leave it out in the driveway. That's your choice. I will not be angry. I will instead choose to respect your choice. You need to know that if you decide to leave it outside, I'm going to take the bike to Goodwill in the morning. Instead of quietly hoping that each weekend visit would just go smoothly, without any need for disciplinary consequences,